UX Mayor Derek Dobies joins us just about every Wednesday morning. Yeah, it was a long one last night, eh?
Yeah, it was a, I would say it wasn't any record setting, but it was a long one. We actually had a shorter agenda, but a lot more discussion on some of the items that we addressed last night. So it was a good discussion. Kind of as I concluded my remarks for Councilmember Common, I said that I thought that this is what it's all about. This is what I think I like most about the job of being able to, as a citizen legislator, engage in rigorous debate about different issues and some of the biggest challenges we face. And it's what the public forum is meant for, debating big ideas and solutions to some of our biggest problems.
Well, let me ask you about something I don't even think you guys talked about last night, and that's the social districts. What happened here with that issue? We're working on a story for tomorrow.
Yeah, I'd have to check in with Corey at the DDA. I know we moved forward with that, and I think the implementation has kind of been a little lacking. So I'd be interested in figuring out where we are with that as well. Haven't had any updates from the DDA director as to that, but hopefully we hear something here shortly.
I heard some of the businesses were opposed.
Definitely. Yeah, well, that's with any policy or new program, I think there's going to be some businesses opposed.
Yeah.
You know, we put that into place to, you know, and did expand it in a way that I think made a lot of sense. And in fact, I've been up to Lansing and other cities that have social districts as well, where they have pretty clear signage. They have, I guess, stickers on the walkway, on the sidewalk, so you know where you can't carry beverages past and things like that. And they've done a pretty good job of marketing it. And in fact, when former city manager Patrick Birch was back up here for a funeral, he and I got together afterwards and were chatting, and they have a similar district down in Maumee now. So I think it's worth continuing to pursue in the long run. I think it's going to be something that's attractive to the restaurants downtown, at least a good amount of them. But yeah, I'm not quite sure why it hasn't been put into place.
Yeah, the Chamber in Grand Rapids is pushing for one there. I guess the most controversial item last night is the urban farming.
Well, I did add the electric vehicle charging ordinance and the living wage ordinance to the agenda last night. We did have some rigorous discussion on that. We didn't vote either of those through. We tabled them to give some more time for feedback and some analysis until the October 26th meeting. But I would say of what passed last night, yes, the urban farming ordinance has been probably one of the, I wouldn't say maybe controversial, but one of the ordinances that has been reviewed over and over. I actually added a couple of more amendments to it last night based on some conversations with some beekeepers from the Dalham Center, just minor changes, but it was able to pass on second reading and final adoption last night. I think it was a 6-1 vote, and you know, within 30 days, the city's going to be doing its work to get some rules together and some process together around that, and then people will be able to keep up to 3 hens and 2 hives in the city limits, and also be able to keep mini pigs within the city as well. So in fact, we had someone come out last night and speak in support of the ability to keep mini pigs in particular.
So now, when you say mini pigs, plural, how many are we talking about?
Well, they're in the same. I think it's up to two.
Okay.
I have to go back and look, but we have our animal ordinance allows for up to three, any combination of three dogs or cats, and I think that the pigs were mixed in with that ratio. So up to three before you have to register as a kennel. That's actually current right now for dogs as well. So I know some people maybe have a couple of dogs and a couple of cats that may be in violation of that. You know, it's one of those ordinances that we don't go searching for right. violators, but right. where it does become a problem, we have the proper tools and teeth in place to be able to enforce and help clean up some properties or in most cases, save the lives of some innocent animals, because sometimes those individuals have so many animals that they just can't care for all of them, and it becomes a problem. And we have to do what we can. And sometimes we work with the county too, and with animal control, and trying to do what we can to protect the animals themselves.
Well, how do you see this? Much ado about nothing, or do you foresee some problems in some neighborhoods?
Well, we have, I would say it's no secret that we have problems now. We always have problems. You know, we have problems with people not cutting their grass and their neighbors, you know, calling down to City Hall, and where we put them on a list and send out a contractor to cut their grass and things like that. So we have problems with any sort of policy. And we have problems already with people not cleaning up after their dogs. We've had to enforce through our nuisance abatement ordinance on a variety of those matters already. So, but I don't think that a few bad apples and bad actors should limit the ability of people to, you know, have the right to farm on their own properties and get their own fresh eggs, get their own honey. And I think that, as we talked about last night, the ability for us to allow that activity should also be coupled with some prudence in crafting good policy that protects the rights of the neighbors that maybe don't want to have that activity. And that's what we did with that ordinance, and allowing the neighbors to have to give consent to someone who wants to allow that activity next door on their property, in fact, within 100 feet. So someone who wants to put bees, a couple of hives on their property is going to have to, you know, walk three, four houses either way down the street, and also, you know, maybe a block or two behind them, and get consent of all of those neighboring properties. And if you're a renter, you have to get consent not only of all of those individuals, but also of your landlord and any other individuals renting on your property as well.
Well, the Clampets had a lot of critters in Beverly Hills, so we'll see how that works out. The Police Oversight Commission, that passed, right?
Passed unanimously again. Yeah, we did have some flack last night about it not supporting the police, but, you know, it's been supported by our chief of police. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I do think that it is a policy that is well-intentioned, has worked in other cities, and in fact, I think it supports and empowers the police through the participation of citizens in their internal policymaking process, so that more individuals, regular citizens in our city, are participating in that process, can understand it, and ultimately, when it's put into force in the field, can serve as validators that, you know, the public had participation, and we largely had agreement on how we wanted the police to interact and engage with the citizens, how they wanted them to when and where to use force, and some understanding of some of the other policies and procedures that our police officers go through. And I think it's something that can be really validating for those that go out every day to put their lives on the line to help keep us protected. So I do think, and I think that's something that was validated itself to the chief of police through the former Lansing police and others that he engaged with, that this is a really good tool for accomplishing that and working more directly with the citizens. And I say we got a great chief. We've had a couple of great chiefs that I've worked with, and we have incredible dedicated police officers. And I think this is just going to make us even more proactive and even more engaged with the citizens than we already are.
Yeah, I think you mentioned it earlier. Oversight sounds a little harsh. I don't think it's meant to sound like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, people can attribute whatever emotions they want to the verbiage there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do think that it's a little funny to have some of the same people that demand public participation and transparency and accountability at every council meeting or any other issue then show up and say, don't do this, and not want participation as it pertains to some of our most important policies around the use of force and use of deadly force in particular. So I think it's a good policy. It's going to be something that allows the citizens to more directly engage. And in fact, since proposing it, I've gotten a lot of people that are already interested in applying and participating in that endeavor.
Yeah. How will they be selected?
Similar process to the other boards and commissions. So there'll mm-hmm. be a application process. I think our public information officer is going to be posting information about that later this week, but there'll be an application process. People will be able to apply to serve on that commission. And then it'll be a recommendation of the mayor and then a confirmation by city council. So we'll probably be able to get some of those individuals appointed by the end of the year here.
Mm-hmm. The new Blackstone apartment project moves forward,
got its pilot. We also, so that's exciting development, more low mod income housing coming into the city. And I think that'll be a great first step for the RAD conversion of Reed Manor and the redevelopment of Reed Manor to be able to move some of the capacity of Reed Manor into that facility as we start to work with the Jackson Housing Commission to redevelop Reed Manor. We also last night approved the sale of some city property at Optimus Park along West Ave there for $1.5 million to a developer who's going to put some new businesses along there as well. So that's exciting. I did try to make a couple of unsuccessful amendments to that to require that the funds that were raised by the sale of a portion of a city park would go back into our Parks and Recreation Department and go into park beautification and capital improvements in our other parks. I think that that's fair and fitting, that if we're going to be selling off a portion of land that is used for a park now, that the proceeds from that sale go back into beautification of our other parks. I made mention of some of those parks that could use some of that money, Exchange Park, Rotary Park, some of those on the south side that haven't seen some investment in a while. We've already had conversations about what we want to do at Loomis with a new playground. There's a lot of upgrades that are necessary at the Blue Center, and $1.5 million can go a long way, I think, in all of those parks. But ultimately, that was maybe one of the votes in my career where I've been outvoted 6-1. And then I made a motion then to ask that the city manager tell us how he would spend that money, which was also how he would allocate that money, because it was said that by requiring a sale of a park, proceeds from the sale of a park to go back into the Parks Department on parks would go too far in tying the hands of the city manager. I made a motion to ask the city manager how he planned to spend the funds, and council also voted that down 6-1. So it was a pretty interesting dialogue and exchange, but I did my best.
What about the wage ordinance? What was the reaction?
You know, it's both were new, and I sent those to council that morning. Had those delivered. I think there's some support and some understanding around the fact that we are a city where 1 in 3 live under the federal poverty level, and we have to do something to address that. And we should be using our city funds and expending our city funds, using that purchasing power in a way that helps to address that in a leadership capacity to set a living wage standard for the city on city employees, city contracts, grants, and incentives. And I think the city council just wanted more time to see how it would impact the budget and some of the staff members that we have now. So there was an attempt to push it through to next January. No surprise that was an attempt to just dismiss it until after I was gone.
Yeah.
But I think we dialed that back, set a reasonable time for both that and the electric vehicle charging ordinance to come back in front of council on October 26th. Give council members some more time to read it, mm-hmm. and give city administration some time to draft up a memo and talk about the impact on the city budget and the city as a whole as well.
So the council voted to accept a SAFER grant. Now these are one-time monies, right?
Yeah, they're one-time grants. The intent, I think it was one for $1.4 million. The intent of the SAFERs is to be able to bring some more firefighters on to the city payroll.
Mm-hmm.
And then ultimately, over a period of years, to be able to put some of the, have the funds to put some of those people into, some of those firefighters into our general fund. So it's kind of a spark that allows us to onboard some new guys and gals, and then ultimately bring them onto the general fund. And in fact, in previous budgets, that's exactly what we did, I think back in 2019. So this is a new grant. It's a new opportunity for us to onboard a few more guys, which should help with putting a few more firefighters on the shift. Also, that will allow us to some flexibility in terms of what equipment we're actually taking out into the field, which should save on wear and tear of our vehicles. And, with more people, with more firefighters, it does save on the wear and tear of the existing firefighters that we have. Less overtime, more ability for them to get some downtime, get some rest. And I think ultimately it makes for a safer department, safer for the guys and gals that are fighting fires every day and saving lives, and safer for the city too. Improved response time and improved property and protection of those living here.
Mm-hmm. Jackson Mayor Derek Dobie, you get some rest, Derek.
Thanks, Greg. I appreciate it.
Take care.